Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Ceratori, head coach of the Beavers. Tom, I thought last night, first period, 5-on-5 in particular, you were pretty darn good. Road game, Friday night, good first period. It's all a coach can ask for, right?
Absolutely. We said the same thing going in between the first and second, the coaching staff. We were very happy with our first period. It was a good road period. I knew the shots were 11 to 10. I think they were. We just took care of the puck. We played simple, and I can't ask any more out of that, out of the guys in that, Schulze.
He took a couple of penalties in the first, and I realize penalties are going to happen, but when you're playing well 5-on-5, you take a penalty, it's almost like you got to start over with momentum, isn't it?
Unless you kill it off. Then you kill it off, it's actually, can to me, it helps your momentum a little bit. So unless you get back-to-back ones. And you get back-to-back ones, it totally takes you out of a flow.
Eric Martin's scored from almost the bottom of the right circle. Over the years, you guys score a lot of goals from there. How does that angle just stress a goalie?
Well, he doesn't think it's coming. So it's just, I call it a surprise shot. We call it a funnel, but it's a surprise shot. And we talked about it. And we've scored goals on this kid in the past on those kind of plays. And again, he handcuffed Piedla, and he didn't think it was coming, and that's what happens.
If you are able to support that shot from the slot and also the back post, how much easier does that make that play?
Well, I mean, what we're trying to do with those funnels, I mean, it's nice to score on the initial shot, but we're hoping to create a rebound right there. And that's the biggest thing right there. Can we win a battle in front of the net? And we didn't need to win the battle in front of the net right there because he scored on the initial shot. The other thing you might want, we want to do too by funneling a puck, by having so much traffic in front of the net, can it go off somebody? So you're just trying to create some chaos, Schulze.
From the 7-8-9 minute mark at the end of the second period, I thought they played a lot better. Took control of the game a little bit. What changed?
Well, it's a hockey game. That's what changed. You've seen 900 of them. There's never, you never play the same way for 60 minutes, and that was their turn. That was their turn, and that's what happened.
Leighton Road took a ton of faceoffs again last night. I think it's safe to say he's getting more comfortable as the year's gone on, the more he's played center. How much more confidence in him do you have on the faceoff dot now than maybe back in October?
Well, he was playing good last night. He was winning his draws last night, so I put him out there more. And I think that's the biggest thing is that, you know, it's all game to game. But I thought Rhodey last night was he was pretty good. And he was winning the majority of his draws. So you got to go with the hot hand.
I'll admit I wasn't going to look it up. I just asked him earlier today. I said, how many games did you play center last year? He said it was like two. He's had to play center this year. You haven't had the luxury of moving guys around a lot. How does that also play into that confidence of who's got a hot hand in the faceoff dot? Just you only had probably 5-6 guys most of the year that are taking them.
Well, we don't have any centers, and typically it's the opposite on a team. You'd like to have 7 centers and move 3 to the wing, but we only have like three or four centers on our team right now. So. And one of them is Jutz, so we're waiting for him to come back. And he's going to, he's going to carry the load with the faceoffs, and he's our strongest two-way center.
More with Coach Ceratori when we come back. Our pregame continues here on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Ceratori. I'm going to spend some time dissecting the hit to Logan Acheson, the challenge. You already got used a timeout. They score a goal. There's a lot of moving parts in that play, so I wanted to dissect that a little bit. If you had not already used a timeout, are you even thinking twice about challenging that play?
Not even thinking twice, Schulze. He's just automatic. He'll burn your timeout on that any day of the week and twice on Sunday. But at that particular time, Joe was confident it was a hit to the head. It looked flagrant, and I'll be honest with you, majority of times, if you take a look at the last 3-4 years, those have been penalties. And so we just said the heck with it. But I debated to myself. I bought a little time. Then finally I said to myself on the bench, I said, you know what? We're going to roll the dice because they scored a goal. And I go, if they score on this, game's probably over because we'll be deflated. But I go, if we kill this thing off, momentum to Bemidji. I go, and I did. I said, we'll win the game. If we kill this off, we're going to win the game. So that's kind of the thought process of me, Schulze. And I think that's what you're trying to do is get under the hood what I'm thinking.
If they don't score that goal to go up 2-1, your risk is now a lot more. I mean, if you are successful on the challenge, the goal comes off the board.
And a 5-minute major.
Do you – is it then too much of a risk? If they don't score a goal, a 5-minute power play is worth it all – more often than not. But if they don't score, do you think twice about maybe not challenging it?
Good point, Schultze. I don't know. You know what? It's easy for me to sit there. What would I do right now? I don't know, because once the play goes on, I don't know how. Well, Joe's still going to look at it. I don't know. I can't answer that question, because the only way I could answer that is in the heat of the moment. And so I'd say it's 50-50. There's a good chance we still might challenge it, because, again, there was nothing to lose. Conversely, you never know, because the situation didn't arise.
Hits to the head have become under the microscope in football and in hockey. There is a two-minute version of a hit to the head in hockey. It's in direct contact to the head. If you want to get rid of contact to the head and have guys hit lower, and I understand you can't challenge a slash or a hook or something like that, but how come you can't get a two-minute power play even on a review on a hit to the head?
Because I think they want to make sure, too, that they'd be having probably even more challenges. I think they want to make sure, too, that it's a situation that warrants a challenge.
The team still needs a timeout or risk a delay game penalty.
I understand that, Schultze. You're not wrong there either. You're not wrong. That thought process is not wrong. I don't know. That's just the way the rules are. So, I mean, I've never thought twice about it, because that's the way the rules are. But Kyle Loaf made a good, I think, a great observation this morning when he talked about it. He goes, I've been playing 5 years. He goes, and I don't think that hits a penalty. He goes, but that hit's been a penalty for 5 years. And that was a great insight from a player. He goes, I haven't not seen that not been a penalty. And he goes, so I think it was a good challenge. And I just said, I go, you're right, Lufty, but I go, I wish they would have called that a two-minute penalty. Because I think that warranted. I think that warrants a two-minute penalty, just because you got his hands up high. But I go, these things happen awful fast, and you got to cut slack to the referees a little bit too.
Logan, I asked him. He was on intermission right after that play. I said, I haven't seen a replay. Were you looking down for the puck? He goes, yeah, my head was down. So part of that is, the guy that got hit, his head is down. That he's putting himself in a little bit of a vulnerable spot too. As a ref, I can also say, well, keep your head up.
No, Schultze, there's two thoughts of thinking in those particular plays. Absolutely.
All right. So the hit happens, penalty or not. Let's just disregard that. Logan gets blown up. He gets up. He goes right back to the house. That's where he's got to go, right?
Yeah. But I think was that the one where he picked up a stick? Yeah, he went behind the net to pick up a stick, and that thing threw the timing off of the play.
Four-on-four situation there, so it's man-on-man. Is that easier to have absolute rules of, all right, this is how we defend this play?
For sure, it is. It's all man-on-man. So it is, but then you got to stay on the D side. You can't allow people to cut back. There's just a lot of things that you got to hold your ground, and you got to stay on the defensive side of the man, defensive side of the puck, defensive side of the stick. Make sure, again, that he can't cut on you on his forehand, try to force him to his backhand. There's just a lot of things that go with it, but there's a lot of details that go with it.
So late in the game then, you pull Matthias. I didn't see the ref's arm up in the air. I'm like, holy smokes, there's a power play out of this too. What changes 6-on-4 and where you need to position guys to still put them in a position to get a shot off?
Well, what it does, it allows you to keep a guy net front. That's the biggest thing. So then they got to occupy that net front guy. So it's a nice, 6-on-4 is a good advantage just because of that. And you have a lot better chance of just keeping puck possession, because there's less guys on their team pressuring the puck. And we have the ability of, creating 2-on-1s on both sides of the rink.
Can a coach ask for anything more than Eric Pohlkamp and that shot, having a shot at the buzzer to tie it?
Yeah, but that shot was, he didn't miss it by much, but we needed to convert earlier.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Tom Cerutori, head coach of the Beavers. Starting lineups next here on the Beaver Radio Network.